Faith communities are unique, and all of their activities are infused with religious purpose. They're concerned with ultimate concerns such as life, death, sin, the reconciliation of individuals with God, and the very purpose of life. Medical assistance in dying, MAID, is a process that allows someone who is found eligible to be able to receive assistance from a medical practitioner in ending their life. The Federal Criminal Code of Canada permits this to take place only under very specific circumstances and rules. It is my pleasure to welcome on the air Alex Schadenberg, who is the Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the air today.
Yeah, I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to speak to your listeners today. So it's very interesting because the introduction actually was very interesting because in Canada we've created a whole set of language around this question which doesn't actually exist in other locations. For instance, in the Netherlands they used terminology which is far more accurate, and they legalized euthanasia in the Netherlands in 2002. They're willing to call it euthanasia, and they're willing to say that this is about killing somebody. They're really have no problem saying that. Whereas in Canada, we came up with a term called medical aid in dying that make us feel better about it. And we talk about people ending their own lives when, in fact, this is done by a doctor killing you. So, you know, it's an interesting situation, but nonetheless, this is what is going on in Canada.
Now, tell me about your organization and how long you've been involved with them.
Yeah, the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition has been around for 25 years, and I was one of the founders of it. Certainly, I've been working full-time with this for 25 years. This is an issue that came up already in the 90s in Canada through the cases of Robert Latimer, who killed his daughter Tracy in 1993, and then there was, of course, the Rodriguez case, which went to the Supreme Court in 93. So I was involved in already at that point, but then we started the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition in the late 90s based on the fact that there was a lot of discussion on this issue. And our goal was to keep it from becoming legal. Our goal now is to prevent it, meaning that we are doing whatever we can to help people choose to live and not die.
But now it has become legal in Canada since 2016. What have the changes to the law looked like for us here in Canada?
So in 2016, yeah, we legalized euthanasia in Canada, and the government claimed that it was a tight law, but actually it didn't actually define the terminology within the law. So, for instance, the original law said that your natural death had to be reasonably foreseeable, meaning that you had to have a terminal condition. But it never defined those terms, natural death being reasonably foreseeable. So it became very difficult to know what that actually meant. So from the very beginning, this was what you would call an expansive law, a law that was being widened by interpretation, widened by, well, if that's okay, then this must be okay too, sort of arguments. Also, Canada has always been a country oriented towards equalitarian ideology, so therefore the argument was being made that, well, this person might not have a terminal condition, but could we not say that their natural death is reasonably foreseeable? So already in 2017, we had a case of a woman who was clearly not dying, but was approved for euthanasia in Ontario court, etc. In 2021, Canada changed the law. They removed the statement that your natural death had to be reasonably foreseeable. We removed the 10-day waiting period. So because you would not have to have a terminal condition in any way, shape, or form, that meant that what was left in the law is you essentially had to have what they call an irremediable medical condition. Irremediable is also not defined in the law. So what does it actually mean to have an irremediable medical condition? Well, in fact, it's sort of interpreted to mean that you have to have like a chronic condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily something that we can treat, then you get better from it. And in that case, it really does apply to people with disabilities. So during that debate in 2021 about the expansion of euthanasia in Canada, the disability community, the leaders of the disability community, made it very clear that this law, this new law, how we have it working, would specifically focus on people with disabilities, and I think they were actually correct. That's exactly what it does. In 2021, we also added to the law that somebody could have euthanasia based on mental illness alone, but the government put a moratorium on that for 2 years.
Right.
And then in late 2022, they added another year of a moratorium onto that, and as you know, the government just recently announced that they plan to delay or pause this euthanasia for mental illness until now March of 2027. The idea that we're supposedly not ready to kill people this way.
Yes, because that's making news lately. So what do you think about this? Why have they delayed adding that in until March 2027? What's the delay about?
Well, there's been several stories that have really come into play in Canada. First of all, the issue, I should say first, would be that the psychiatric community is very much opposed to this. And they argue, now, of course, there are people in the psychiatric community who favor euthanasia in a very serious manner, and they would argue that we can go ahead and do this. But for the majority, they say no. Psychiatric conditions are not what you call an irremediable medical condition. So, for instance, Dr. Sonia Gain, who's the past president of the Canadian Psychiatric Association, he also is a professor at the University of Toronto, he makes it very clear that you cannot predict what person has an irremediable medical condition when we're talking about euthanasia, I mean, when we're talking about issues around mental illness. So he's dealt with many, many patients over his years, and he says, I cannot determine who is going to get better and who will not get better. I can determine that certain treatments are successful a certain percentage of the time. I cannot determine who's going to get better and not get better. Therefore, the concept of an irremediable medical condition that is of a mental illness nature, he says, is impossible to determine. I think that's a very strong argument. There was also the case recently of Catherine Mettler, who is in Vancouver. So last June, she went to the Vancouver General Hospital, and she was experiencing suicidal ideation. She went there to receive help. The counselor there said, I'm sorry, we do not have a bed to admit you. You know, we have no place to admit you. The beds are full. So they have a psychiatric ward, but the beds are full. And she said, we cannot schedule any appointment for you until November at the earliest. So in other words, there is no ability for you to see a professional right now. And then the counselor asked her if she had considered euthanasia or not, medical assisted dying. Well, it shows you right off the bat that we do not have the type of mental health care in place for Canadians in many cities that would be necessary if you're going to allow doctors to be able to approve the killing of these patients. We just don't have it in place. So if you cannot determine whether these people are actually have an irremediable medical condition or not, irremediable that is, then how can you actually approve their killing? That becomes the big question. And the government is saying we don't have an answer for that yet.
So that's why they've postponed it until 2027?
I think, is postponing it. They should actually remove it from the law completely. It's impossible to determine whether someone's irremediable or not. It's impossible to make these determinations. Therefore, you cannot have the law, as it's worded today, you cannot have that same law and then allow euthanasia for mental illness. It's simply impossible.
It's such a hot topic in the country, too, with the groups promoting dying with dignity, and they see it as protecting end-of-life rights and helping people across Canada avoid unwanted suffering. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we actually look at the reality of it. So obviously there's the fact that there are some people who do go through significant suffering. There's no question about that. We don't have to kill them. We never did have to kill them in order to relieve their suffering and their pain. That was not necessary. But we bought into this concept in Canada that is going to be a legal thing to do. But if you look at the actual data as to why people are asking to have their life ended, and you see this in our federal data that comes out, and even that data is minimal because we haven't actually done any serious studies yet in Canada on this question. We realize that most of the people are not asking for having their life ended for that reason at all. Most of the people, yes, they're going through a significant health condition. There's no question about that. Whether they have a condition like cancer or whether they have some other serious chronic condition, they are going through a difficult time. There's no question about it. Some of them have a very treatable condition. Nonetheless, they are feeling that their life is lost meaning, purpose, or value. A lot of them are saying, I feel lonely. I feel there's no point to my life continuing, which is a social issue. This is also why a lot of us look at this and say, this is very similar then to why people ask or why people are seeking suicide. It's very similar. The difference, of course, could be the life experience of the person who's actually seeking their death. But the reality is the motivations seem very similar.
Now, euthanasia for newborns was also proposed by a parliamentary committee in February of 2023. Can you share some light on that?
Right. So what happened is after Canada passed Bill C-7, so in March of 2021. So that was the expansion of the law to remove the terminal illness requirement. They removed the 10-day waiting period, and they added euthanasia for mental illness into the law. They then struck a committee to look at the law and consider further expansions of the law. So they set up this parliamentary committee which was comprised of 10 members of parliament and 5 senators, and they did represent all parties. And that committee came up with a report, actually, in February of 2023, February 15th of 2023. And in that report calls for the legalization of euthanasia for mature minors. So in that report, you have a situation where they make it very clear to them that a mature minor is a person who's been assessed, who's under the age of 18, but who's been assessed as someone who's capable of consenting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the deliberations of that committee, the Quebec College of Physicians presented to that committee and said, well, they supported euthanasia for mature minors, but they said we should also go and have euthanasia of newborns. Well, the issue of euthanasia of newborns totally changes the question. So obviously these would be people with disabilities who are born with a disability, whose parents have decided they'd rather have this child die than live. But further to that, this is really now very interesting because we were sold the concept of euthanasia in Canada based on the concept that these would be competent adults who are capable of consenting. Well, obviously a newborn is not a competent adult and is not capable of consenting. And even if you consider the consent being of the parent, it's a totally different form of consent. But it's also very eugenic. Now, you may or may not know what I'm meaning by the word eugenic, because it's not a word that's really used anymore. Eugenics is something that was developed in the 1880s. It's a concept that certain lives are not worth living. And actually, it was very popular amongst certain German leaders during the Second World War, and they instituted programs based on eugenics. This is very much the same idea. It's saying that these lives, their lives can be ended based on that is the determination that that life is not worth living. I find this very concerning.
With all of that, where should Canada go now that euthanasia is legal and it has all of these different elements to it? What do we do going forward?
Well, okay, first of all, we have to accept the reality. So this has become sadly normalized in our country. So I just published an article on February 5th where I estimate that there was about approximately 16,000 euthanasia deaths in Canada in 2023. Now, why am I doing these estimates? Because the federal government is actually very slow in releasing the data. So similar to last year, what I did is I contacted several provinces. So I got data from Quebec, Ontario, and Alberta, which are seriously large provinces, seeking data from British Columbia and a few other places to confirm my data. But what it shows is that the increase in the number of euthanasia deaths in 2023 probably means that there was about 16,000, as I say, euthanasia deaths in 2023, which would be up from 13,241 in 2022. The other thing about it is Quebec had the highest euthanasia data in Canada, but also the highest in the world. 6.8% of all deaths in 2023 were euthanasia. They had 5,211 reported euthanasia deaths in Quebec alone. This is significant, it's massive, and it's showing you and me, whether I agree or happy about it or not, that in fact this has become normalized in our country. For your information, Newfoundland in 2022 had the lowest percentage of euthanasia deaths in the country. So that would mean it's not quite as normalized in Newfoundland. I think I should also point out that in Quebec, 15% of the data, 15% of the deaths were people who were not terminally ill. These were people who were defined as not nearing death, who were defined as not likely to die within the next 2 years. You know, obviously, we can all die at any time, but you know what I mean? That's how the report sort of separated them out. So that's a huge number. That's a massive number. When we realize this, the bigger question to me is, well, why are people actually asking for their life to be ended? So we've been sold this concept that it's all about pain and suffering. And obviously speaking, I'm a human being. We're all human beings. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to go through extreme pain. I want you to be properly cared for. And I think that this is something that we've lost in our system. We've lost the concept of properly caring for people. But in the same sense, why are people actually asking for this? And we look at the data again, and then we have to be brutally honest. When we look at the data, we realize most people are not actually asking for this because of pain and suffering. That was what was sold to us. We were told this would be the reality. This was not the reality. Most people, this is based on the social conditions that they are alone and lonely, going through a difficult time in their life. In the past, when we had this situation where somebody was seeking or asking about having their life ended when they were going through a difficult time, we had professionals who would be involved with helping that person through their difficult time, because we recognize that this was a psychological, social, emotional condition that they were experiencing, and that could be treated. That could be treated either by social supports or by certain medications that change the, how would you say, the balance in our brain of our the different receptors, etc. So this is a reality. I talk about, though, to the faith community, and I say to the faith community, well, you know, this is a challenge. This is a serious challenge, but this type of a challenge makes us recognize that we need to be caring for people who we know who are in need, because there's a lot of people who are going through seriously difficult times in their life and doing so in loneliness and feeling socially and culturally abandoned. And when we start thinking about the concept of having one's life ended, we start realizing in the human sense, you know, these are normal feelings that one might experience when going through a difficult situation. So, you know, it's not new that someone will feel that in this difficult situation, I don't know why I'm continuing to live. Mm-hmm. The difference would be that somebody actually goes ahead now and kills them, which is what we're doing today. So all these things are very concerning to me. I think that we have to recognize that what we really need is a caring culture, a culture that cares for other people more than ever before. The other thing about it is we have to recognize that this law of ours in Canada is sadly unprecedented in the world. We've gone crazy with these euthanasia deaths. So now we're seeing in Canada euthanasia for poverty, euthanasia for homelessness, euthanasia for people who are having difficulty receiving medical treatment. And we're saying to ourselves, we didn't buy into this. A lot of Canadians are saying this was not what we anticipated when we said we were interested in legalizing euthanasia. But in fact, what's happening is because the terminal illness requirement was taken out, and you now have to have an irremediable medical condition, what it means is that there's a lot of people who have disabilities, who live in poverty, who are homeless, who are having difficulty obtaining medical treatment. These people are finding themselves in an untenable situation and deciding to die by euthanasia. But they're making it clear, as much as they were approved for death based on their medical condition, they're making it clear they didn't ask for it based on their medical condition. In fact, they didn't want it. They asked for it based on their social condition. There was an article about the food bank in Mississauga who were very concerned because quite a few of their clients with disabilities who were coming to them on a regular basis for help with their food security were saying applying for a medical assisted death. We're applying for that because we can't continue to live in poverty. You're hearing that people say this. We have had cases of homelessness, as I say, in Ontario and other places. Recently, there was a case in Victoria, British Columbia, of a man who had cancer. And you would say, yes, but Alex, you know, cancer should qualify, shouldn't it? Well, I guess under its legal nature, it would qualify. But, I mean, the fact of it is this man had cancer. He had a treatable condition. But because they had such a backlog in the cancer treatment, he went 10 weeks, even though he was told they were going to schedule his treatment. Even though they kept in contacting the doctor saying, when are you going to start treatment? He went to see the oncologist after 10 weeks of receiving no treatment, and the oncologist said, well, sorry, your cancer is spread now. There's no further hope for you. Well, that's a ridiculous situation. So now you're getting euthanasia deaths based on our broken medical system. You know, these are not the kind of things we bought into, and this is not the kind of thing we should be allowing in our country.
What's the timeline for somebody actually applying for this and then getting it?
So how it works in Canada is that after we removed the terminal illness requirement in the law, it became a two-tier law. So if you have a terminal condition, so if the doctor defines your condition as being terminal, you can have a same-day death. So the law says that there'd be no waiting period. If you have a condition which is considered not terminal, so let's say you have a chronic condition, you have a disability, and you apply for medical aid in dying, you would have a 90-day waiting period. So for instance, there was a case of a woman in Ontario who was a quadriplegic woman, and she had she was not collecting a disability benefit because she had been gainfully employed. She was working as a consultant. She had written several books. She did not have a problem with her income. She didn't need benefits because her business was giving her benefits. And then she became very, very sick. So she was told by the Ontario government, because she decided in her sickness that she should apply for her disability benefits because she wasn't able to earn money at that moment. And they told her, there's a 6 to 8 month waiting period in Ontario for disability benefits, even though she's a quadriplegic, 6 to 8 month waiting period for disability benefits, but you can have euthanasia in 90 days. So she applied for euthanasia. In the end, she did not die by medical aid in dying euthanasia because she didn't actually want to. She actually wanted disability benefits because she was in a situation where she couldn't at that moment work. So anyway, it's a very sad reality that people find themselves in these situations. You know, the whole thing about poverty, you know, there's a lot of people with disabilities who live in poverty, and I'm not sure exactly how things are in Newfoundland, but I can say that in Ontario, it's become very expensive to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cost of housing, rental, it's gone way through the roof. And so what people with disabilities are finding is that they can't afford to live. They simply can't afford to live unless they have subsidized housing. And there's a long waiting list for subsidized housing. There's just no way they can pay the rent.
Where's our hope?
Well, obviously speaking, we need to change the system. You shouldn't have a situation where people with disabilities, through no fault of their own,
mm-hmm.
these are people with disabilities who simply cannot afford to live in an apartment. Now, if they already have subsidized housing, and this is the problem, if they have subsidized housing, then they're fine. But we're finding, for instance, in Ontario, you might get a situation where somebody is in an apartment building. Like, for instance, the one guy who was on our board, he lived in Hamilton, and he had been in a subsidized housing unit, but it wasn't a government-owned property. So the owner of the building was receiving some money from the government for the subsidized apartment. Anyway, the point was, is the owner was constantly trying to pressure him out,
mm-hmm.
because if he were to leave, they could then change the rent on that apartment to a normal rate. So he was being pressured out. So for instance, the case of Amir Farsou in St. Catharines is the prime example. He was living in an apartment. It was subsidized. He could afford his rent. And then a new person bought the building and said that they were going to redo the building. So he was told he needed to leave. But under his disability benefit, there was nowhere he could afford to rent an apartment. And
mm-hmm.
on top of it, so he put his name in for subsidized housing, but there's a long waiting list. So he then applied for euthanasia, and he went to the media about this because he says, I don't want to die. I just don't want to be living on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, there was a group of people who started a GoFundMe campaign, and they raised enough money to help him get an apartment. So that was the answer in that case. But the fact of it is the current situation is completely untenable. But this is the reality. People who are part of that euthanasia lobby, there's a whole bunch of people who think this is such a good thing. So they're part of that lobby. They'll say, well, you know, don't listen to Alex Schadenberg. He's not telling you the truth. You can't have euthanasia based on poverty. And they're correct. You can't have euthanasia based on poverty. But these people aren't being approved for euthanasia based on poverty. They're being approved based on the fact that they have an irremediable medical condition. They have a disability. In the case of Amir Farsou, he had a serious back issue. He was not going to get better. This is a serious back issue. He was living with it.
Mm-hmm.
He did have some pain control, but, I mean, this was his reality. Therefore, he qualified for euthanasia based on having an irremediable medical condition. But, of course, he was asking for it based on homelessness.
Wow. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the air today and sharing this. Is there one last thought that you would like to share with Canada about the work that you do as the Executive Director of Euthanasia Prevention Coalition?
Well, I think it's very important that we recognize that in this current situation where the government gives doctors the right and law to kill people, and that's exactly what it is, we have to look at what it means to be human. We have to recognize that we're all human beings. We all go through difficult times in our life. We all go through times of hopelessness and feelings of hopelessness. And sometimes we will go through times where we think that our lives are better to be ended. We feel suicidal in times. Our lives lack meaning. We need to recognize that we need to care for our neighbors, be with them, help them through their difficult times, because the hopelessness leads to death scenario that we're experiencing is simply not acceptable. And this should never have been the case, but this is the case right now. And we need a caring culture. And I challenge people who are listening to this, especially those who agree with me on this, that a caring culture is something we need to be striving for.
If folks would like more information on the work that you do, how can they contact your organization?
Well, Euthanasia Prevention Coalition is very easy to Google, and the blog that I have can be found also if you go to the website, and that blog is the largest source of information in the world on euthanasia and assisted suicide. I've been maintaining it for a very long time, but it's very easy to find us. You can then go get our email address. You can email me, and I'm happy to keep you up to date with what's going on in Canada.
My guest today has been Alex Schadenberg. He's the Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. Alex, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.